That's a very appropriate song for lots and lots of places with great words, and thank you all for that. Got a mic? Good. All right. We call ourselves coaches here. I'll take a page out of Jake's book. He normally does this. John Vickers calls me Coach Bob. I call him just Coach because he's a basketball coach forever. And there's one thing, John was a outstanding basketball player, played semi-pro, I guess he'll be called semi-pro, but he never played a game for his players. He just coached them, and that's our deal. We're guys who are here to coach you. There's a tendency in the church for there to be fans, so they cheer, but they don't play the game, and our goal is for you all to play the game. And of all the churches that I know, you all play the game as hard and as well as anybody I know. So good for you. And, just want to say that's perfect. Another thing I learned a little while back was that, if you know a good story, it's better to get the good story firsthand than to get it secondhand. So a couple of weeks ago, Joe and I were talking. This is Joe Calhoun, his wife Diane. I've known them for about 28 years. And the same course that you all are getting for free upstairs in Sunday school, I paid $300 to go to back in the 1980s. And I've told Joe more times than he wants to hear that helped me be more productive than about lots and lots of courses I took in college or seminary. So they've been good friends of mine. And about a year ago, they started coming to Maywood. And we're thrilled that you're here. And God bless you all lots for being present. Anyway, Joe and I were talking a couple of weeks ago. And he told me some things about Diane, and I asked permission to interview Diane, and we're going to do that in a minute. Actually, Joe's going to introduce her, but we're going to talk about the theme, giving thanks in hard times. And, anytime you come to a season of Thanksgiving, Christmas, big holidays, there are always people in the congregation who struggle through those times. And we obviously as a church are doing that with Josh. But there's probably never been a Thanksgiving, never been a Christmas, never been a Mother's Day or a Father's Day where there wasn't at least a handful of people in the service whose hearts were breaking over the remembering of those days. And so why in the world do you give thanks during hard times? Let's just look at a scripture verse. In Psalm 100 verse 4, we are commanded. This is a command. This is not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It's not something you find on the page of your Facebook with a nice little thought. It's a command from God to enter his gates, God's gates, with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Another command, give thanks to him and to praise his name. And you can find that command throughout Scripture. God commands us to give thanks. Our entry point to God is the realm of thanksgiving. And there are times when it's really, really hard to be thankful. And we're going to talk about why it's valuable to give thankful. We could give you a lot of things. We're going to save some time for Diane to talk, so I'm going to turn over to Joe. Joe, tell us one of the reasons why it's good to be thankful, all right?
Thank you, Bob. Good morning. So I was brand new in town, and I had a young boy and a wife, and we had come from New Mexico to the big city, Kansas City. I wanted to take my boy to an amusement park, and can you imagine our delight when we found Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun? What a big, beautiful place to take a young boy. And so as we entered the park, Bob, I was very impressed because they had the vision and the mission and the values of this organization prominently displayed, which I'm a big believer that without vision, people perish. They need to have a common vision. Where are we going? We need to have a purpose, a mission, like the great commission. We need to have a set of values like the great commandments. We need to be united around all that. And so my wife and son were a little upset with me because I was borrowing paper and pencil and I'm writing out all these things and I'm doing my homework because, as you know, Bob, I'm a business consultant and I'm always looking for great stories, and I was just seeing a beautiful story here. And I looked, and they had the employee of the month. You know, Denise, was her picture was there. She's very young, and I was just so excited. And my wife and son are like, "Come on, Joe, let's go." And so we walked in. Well, we don't get in there very far, and I see Denise. So we're interrupted again because I want to go over to Denise and say, "Denise, congratulations on being employee of the month. You know, I'm so proud of you. This must be a great place to work," I said. She said, "Not really." And I said, "Why not?" And she said, "People complain too much." I said, "What do they complain about?" She said, "Well, first of all, they complain about work. Why people that tried so hard to get a job here, and then they got a job, would complain about work," she said, "is beyond me." So I asked this 16-year-old girl the second thing that people complain about. She said, "The second thing they complain about is the weather." And then she looked at me, and with the wisdom of a babe, she said, "Why people would complain about something they can't change is beyond me." And she said, "The third thing they complain about is they complain about the customers." Sort of like, this wouldn't be a bad place to work if it weren't for all those customers bothering us all the time. And I realized in that moment, Bob, that complaining kills the human spirit. And here was this very positive young woman, employee of the month, who is acknowledging how complaining brings down or kills or hampers the human spirit. But, Bob, thanksgiving and praise and thanksgiving and gratitude lift the human spirit. And so I think about this verse. If we are his children, it says just before this, we're the sheep of his pasture, it says in this very short psalm. And so if we're going to enter into his gates, almost like we're entering into his presence, we are entering into his presence, we can't enter into his presence unless we have an attitude of gratitude. And I think about one of my favorite quotes. Bob's waiting for me to get done here. I think about one of my favorite quotes, and it goes like this. I hope you never forget this little quote. "Just think how happy you'd be if you lost everything you had and then got it back again." Let me repeat that because the pause is important. Just think how happy you would be if you lost everything you had, your health, your family, your friends, your job, your possessions. Just think how happy you'd be if you lost everything you had and then be that happy.
Amen. That's good. Perfect. Why don't you, and I was going to interrupt you to say, we have a high-dollar business consultant on our stage with a microphone in his hand. How do you apply that story from Worlds of Fun to your clients? Because this is not the first time you've ever told that story.
Right. Well, I wrote about it in my last book. It's a powerful story. It convicts people to understand the truth of the gospel. And the gospel is good news. And even if people don't understand Jesus Christ and know Jesus Christ, they can still follow his truths. And they're going to be happier, and they're going to be healthier, and they're going to be more successful. And once they start finding that truths will produce happiness and health and success in their life, they might start looking for the author of those truths and find their way to God and his son Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Perfect. That is so good. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I'm going to ask Joe to introduce Diane to us and to get her started on a story. And she has, what's really interesting is we have interviewed people over the last couple of months. Almost everybody could have a book, or at least a really good chapter in a book out of their story. And Diane, you've obviously got one. So Joe, why don't you introduce her and let her talk about her story, would you please?
Thank you, Bob. So as many of you know, I spent the first 30 years of my life looking for love in all the wrong places, and was a hardcore drug addict in my teens, overdosed and almost died before I was 19 years old. My life was going nowhere. I was in a Baptist church, Bob, in the very back of the church at that time, 10 years before I accepted the Lord. And I was so convicted to go down and accept Jesus, but I was sitting in the back, and it was in the balcony, and I never made my way down. And so I spent 10 more years throwing my life away, looking for love in all the wrong places. When I was 30, I accepted Jesus. When I was 31, I met my wife. When I was 32, we had our son Joseph. And what was most amazing about this beautiful woman that God chose for me is that I learned God's love through my wife, Diane. She had accepted the Lord about 8 years before me after a very painful divorce. And I just every day would marvel that God gave me this beautiful woman who would love me unconditionally. And I thought to myself every day, if Diane could love me this much, how much could God love me? And I realized it was a whole lot more than that. And so Diane helped me grow up in the faith. My loving wife, the mother of our son Joseph, and my best friend. So meet Diane Calhoun.
It's a very, I know, emotional time for everybody, but I want to thank the praise and worship team. When I looked at those songs, sometimes God uses things to revisit pasts that were painful, but yet the victory and the joy that has come from it just amazes me on what God has done in our lives. And I have to say first, before I tell you just a little bit about this, I realized as we talked about thankfulness, freedom doesn't come unless first forgiveness comes. It's hard to be thankful when you're self-righteous or you're bitter or you want to be in an unforgiving state. But when you accept God's forgiveness for your sins and you remember that, then forgiveness for others becomes easier, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But then as he gives us his word, how powerful the word is, because he doesn't leave us in that place of how do I deal with my hurts. So years ago, I used to sing in nightclubs. I got married young. I married a musician, and drugs were coming in the scene. I started seeing my whole life just being music, and I realized music and acceptance and my husband were gods to me. I would do anything for them. And yet they were doing little for me. Being in nightclubs and smoky rooms was destroying my throat. It was destroying a life and dreams that I had hoped to have later in life. But Jesus, during that time, was knocking on my door. And I went from accepting him as Savior, which I did in the denominational church I was in, to saying, God, I'm all in. Show me what sin is. And as he opened the eyes of my heart, he let me see that I was a sinner. And as I accepted him, I got all in. Well, my first husband didn't like that. And my commitment caused a lot of problems with that relationship and the relationships with other people. Like Joe said, you know, are you willing to give it all up? And in a sense, that's what happened. My dreams were shattered. I lost, my husband became very bitter. He had an affair, a child, another affair, another child. And I almost lost my house, was almost into foreclosure. But through that process, as I started to read his word, as I started to stay in the family of God, and I had a new kind of fellowship, healthy relationships, God was showing me that that life was a whole lot more powerful and a lot more fulfilling in that family than it was in my past family. And I realized how powerful the word was and how gentle God was with me when my stinking thinking had to be changed. I remember walking out my house one day. Now my husband had left, my ex-husband, and it was a fall day like this with leaves everywhere. And I'm walking out, there were a lot of trees on my property, and I started to complain, and just as I'm walking out the door, what added to it is my neighbor's husband walks out the door next door, and he's whistling away and getting out the lawnmower and his tools and just raking away, and right away bitterness started to come in. And I started to say, well, that's not fair. This isn't right. I'm all by myself. Why'd you do this to me, Lord? And then the Lord reminded me, you know, during this time I was starting to memorize scripture and starting to use that to bring change in my life. And he brought this very important scripture, Philippians 4:4-6-8. I walked out the door and the Holy Spirit just brought this to memory. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, dwell on these things. Whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So I stopped in the middle of my tracks, just standing in the leaves with my rake, and I said, thank you, Lord, that I could get out of bed today. Thank you that I have a home to sleep in and shelter. Thank you that I have leaves around. Thank you that I have a rake. I found all these simple little things to thank God about. And what happened was amazing. I'm thinking in my thoughts of complaining, but when I started to thank God, I started to hear the birds singing. I started to smell those beautiful smells that come. Some of us are allergies, but there's some great flowers still left in the air. I started to hear more of my neighbor whistling and started whistling his tune. I waved over to him and said hi to Louie. And I realized that forgiveness and thankfulness sets you free to a whole heavenly realm that you miss when you're caught up in your stinking thinking and thoughts of the past. Praise, like it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. How powerful that was. So it showed me that no matter what I go through, there's always something to thank God for.
Thank you. Now, we don't want to leave you all with the impression that she's hopscotched from a very painful divorce. You hung around for 5 years, didn't you? And you prayed for your husband, and you dealt with just his bad behavior through a really, really tough time. And so you don't hopscotch from deep pain and deep hurt over to a beautiful day raking leaves with your neighbor, quoting Bible verses. You work your way there. And so in the middle of our difficulty, we work our way there. So I don't know if you want to share with us any, maybe one of those painful moments, but let us hear a little bit about that part of the struggle too, if you would please.
Yeah, there was an amazing time that when I found out now that there was a child involved in this whole thing, and I was believing God and faithfulness, and he would come around every once in a while, and I just know that it was those little attacks of the enemy using him through his sin to try to destroy and incapacitate me. I realize, you know, Satan doesn't have me, but he sure works hard to incapacitate us as Christians and not live in that victory. He had come back this one time. He was opening up another nightclub, and he had some nails that he had in his pocket and left on my kitchen counter. He came for a one-night stand. Little did I know, I thought he was back and I was going to forgive him and things were going fine. But he was there for his one-night stand and he left those nails on the kitchen counter. And when I found him gone, I wanted to end my life again. And I saw those two nails and I'm sorry, God's love is so amazing that it touches me even now. I picked up those two nails that were on the counter, and the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, Diane, I died for the whole world so that they might live. And I'm looking at the nails in my hand, and he says, you're hurting for the sins of two people. You think you can handle that? And I went, yes, Lord. He just gave me this life of strength and this honor to say, I'm going to get through it, and this is small in comparison to what he did for me. And so I took those nails, and I stuck it in my pocket. And I would drive with those nails in my coat pocket for months. And every time, I remember one time driving down the highway, just thinking, let me just go through those guardrails. I stuck my hand in the pocket, and I remembered what the Lord said to me. And it sustained my life, and it sustained many times of wanting to end it all.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I want to make just a real point here, and then we're going to turn to Joe. We've heard up until the last series, we had a number of testimonies that y'all recall. There's a common theme that goes through these testimonies. One of them was we went through pain. Every one of those testimonies was about hard times. But there was another common theme, and that is there was a connection with God through prayer, through reading the Bible, and through being obedient to what God said. That's a common theme. You do not hopscotch through difficult problems and just pop out on the other end and feel good. Tough times are tough times, okay? But there is a common theme. When you press in to God, when you stay with Him, when you keep doing the next right thing led by the Holy Spirit, when you sit with your Bible open or you sit at your kitchen counter and you just say, oh, God, how I need you, however you do that, that opens the door for God to come into your life and to give you help. And so, Diane, thank you. There's a lot more she could say, but in our conversation, I'm going to have to stop. In our conversation, Joe also, thinking about where the church is right now, entered into the book of Job. So you want to talk us through the book of Job a little bit?
Well, I, of course, not a pastor or a teacher, Bob, but I'll just share with you a couple things that as I opened up the Bible, as Bob had invited us to do this, and he invited us to do this weeks ago. We didn't know that Josh would be passing this week. I just felt led to go to what I think might be the oldest book of the Bible, from what many people say, the book of Job. And why would this be one of the first books of the Bible? It's got some wonderful truths that help us in a season like this. And as I sit here looking at this beautiful tribute to our friend Josh, and I think about Josh's impact on our lives, and I'll, like many others, have a chance to share that in second service, and I hope many of you will stay for that. As I started reading the book of Job, which we all know is a man who was really tested, and he passed the test. Job lost his children. He lost everything he owned. He lost his health. This was a man who was suffering greatly. Things were so bad, Bob, that his wife, you know, gave him this memorable advice. Why don't you just curse God and die, she said. Times were tough for Job. But Job never gave up, like Bob said, on God. Diane went through hard times. We still go through hard times. And as we go through the peaks and the valleys of life, he's with us always to lift us up when times are bad and to keep us humble when things are good. But as I was reading through this very quickly, Bob, I started reading it. I couldn't help but think about Josh. It said, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. And as I read it, I thought to myself, in the land of independence, there was a man by the name of Josh Monk. He was blameless and upright, not because of what he did, but because of what Jesus Christ did for him. He was blameless and upright. Josh Monk feared God, and he shunned evil, and he encouraged others of us to do the same. And then it goes on to say, I'm going to use the Josh reference, obviously it's the book of Job. Josh was one of the greatest men of the people in independence. Certainly in independence in the church of our church, Maywood Baptist Church. And then I think about what Josh said just a, was it a week ago or 2 weeks ago, that Josh got up and he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Josh essentially sat up here and said, "God owes me nothing. The way I live my life, the kind of person I was, God owes me nothing." I heard him say that many times that Sunday. "Naked I came into this world, naked I'm going out. Hey, the Lord gives, the Lord takes. May the name of the Lord be praised." Amen. And then, you know, this book, it's a long book because there's about 30 plus chapters, and about 30 of them are all of his friends that were coming and trying to say all kinds of things to him to help him get straightened out. And before they started doing a lot of talking, they did something that was pretty wise, and I'm in Job 2:13. His friends came, and they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great was his suffering. When I think about Amanda and other people that go through suffering, sometimes words are not appropriate.
Can I interrupt you just for a second? When I was in seminary, my counseling professor said, when you go to a grief situation, give people a hug and tell them, "I'm so sorry." Anything else beyond that will not be helpful. Had a tragic death at that time in the church that I pastored in Mississippi. 15-year-old girl you could drive in Mississippi at age 15, hit a dump truck head on. And I spent the night with in the hospital as she was leaving this world, going to heaven. And I listened to my professor and I said nothing. At her funeral, the girl's mother came up to me and said this: "Thank you for those wonderful words you spoke to us in the hospital." And I said nothing. And so I want to coach you with your words. Let them be few. Let them be sincere. And hugs are at this time more important. The same professor talked about one of the most profound experiences he had was when he had lost someone in his family. And the president of the seminary came, and the two of them sat in the hallway of a hospital, and they both leaned their heads against the wall and cried together. And that was all the professor, the president did. Now, he had tons of theology. He had Dr. So-and-so, all of that stuff, but he gave his presence. We're going to skip to the end of this book and give you a chance to respond. But I want to say that, just as Joe said, you may want to add to this if you do, those fellows gave Job tons of grief between chapter 2 and almost the end of the book. And then God showed up. And the truth is, that's what we need in all of our lives during this time in our church history. And if you are suffering for the loss of someone or suffering through the song that we sang during the invitation, what you need is an encounter with the Lord. And what happened when everybody was through talking, God brought his presence to bear.
Yes.
And here's what Job had to say. Job said, "My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." And in my experience of pastoring for almost 50 years now, that is the healing point of life, when God enters the scene. And so keep doing what Diane has said. Joe's going to have a comment. Let me finish this statement. Keep doing what Diane did. Keep pressing into God. Keep coming to him. He will show up, and he will help you. Joe?
Yeah, so our topic this morning for all of us is how to be thankful during tough times. I will confess to you that over the years, my 60-plus years of life, this season is the most beautiful season for me, this Thursday when we have Thanksgiving, because I know that people around the world are doing their best to be thankful. Something, Bob, that I have been doing and I've been watching my wife do, and what's something you've been doing every day of our Christian life. We're thankful. I am thankful for Josh Monk and the life he lived. As I was sitting here with Jake and Christy this morning, I just had a thought occur to me. You know, of all the coaches, Josh was pretty competitive. He beat you guys home. He won the race. He's at home. You guys are still down here.
Let's end on that. That's a great one. Amen. All right, go ahead and stand and let's pray together. Lord, you're right. Josh beat us home. And he's had several days now to enjoy everything you have in heaven. And Lord, he'll never get bored. Heaven will never get old. He'll never say, oh, it's just another day in heaven. Lord, he has a new body that is perfect, and you get witness to that by his brother John getting to see a nice dream besides the truth of your word. Thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you for those who are here who listen to us talk about struggling through life to be thankful. And Lord, in this time, help us to struggle through to find you in the midst of our needs. Grant us, we pray, your grace and your help during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We'd love to pray with you. There'll be a group of folks up here at front while the worship team sings, and you just respond as God speaks to your heart.